Well, let's bring in Jerry Reynolds. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're talking about the obviously the game tonight, the Kings and the Blazers, and really discussing kind of the fall the Blazers have had, at least from the end of their playoff run to where we are today. What have you seen in them that just is so glaring to you as to why they're on, as Katie pointed out, what are they, 1-10 in their last 11 games?
Well, to me, they're just a very have been a very poor defensive team all year. Not that they were league's best, but they seem to be a lot better defensively, and for some reason they've kind of lost that. I've always thought a little bit of it was the injury, not having Al-Farouq Aminu available most of the season. I think he's back now, but I don't know if he's 100%. I thought he was a real solid defender in the front line. You know, give him somebody that really gives legitimate NBA toughness, and I think they missed that. And I think the addition of Evan Turner, even though he's a very good player, you know, it hasn't really worked yet. I kind of think that it will.
You know, Jerry, the Kings' four-game win streak that they're currently on right now started with that win over Portland at home at Golden 1 Center. And since then, they've been rolling. Now, what do you see that the Kings have kind of been able to do? I know that you actually kind of did the studio show, and you got to watch the game in a little bit different way than when you're, you know, calling the game courtside. What has been the difference in this four games to you that is really, you know, kind of just sticks out as the main cause?
Well, yeah, I think there's a couple things, Katie, and I mean, and like you say, I think watching three of the games kind of at the studio or doing the pre and post game stuff, you know, you see the game a little different. And the thing that struck me, well, obviously, was the same thing that struck probably everybody that's got two eyeballs, was that DeMarcus Cousins is playing the best basketball of his career for sure, and obviously, statistically, he is, but I think he's really just been so much better making his teammates effective, and I think that's kind of been obvious to me. And then a couple other things, I really have liked how Coach Edgar has, you know, by the second half has really kind of got an idea who he wants to play down the stretch. I've never been a fan of the starting lineup, I'm not going to lie. I just don't think it's a very good starting lineup, and almost invariably it doesn't work very well. But I think Coach Edgar's a lot smarter than me. He realizes it's not who starts the game, it's who finishes. And he's been extremely good at getting the right lineups out there with Cousins to finish games and basically to win games. And I've kind of called it Cousin the Basketeers or Boogie and the Basketeers, and Bench Tears, because really it has been the bench along with DeMarcus. You know, I mean, Tolliver and Garrett Temple and Ty Lawson, I mean, they've been terrific. And they've been the guys along with Boogie that's been winning games.
You know, Jerry, I think that last point you made is a great one, and I think it's the coach's biggest challenge, because obviously DeMarcus, as you said, playing the best basketball of his career. Rudy is a higher-level talent. But then I think players 3 through 12 are so similar, and it's not about making guys happy. It's about playing the right guys, and I don't know, that separation isn't very big. How difficult is that for Coach Yeager to, all right, tonight it's going to be Tolliver, now it's Barnes, now it's, you know, Costa, now it's Willie. I don't think that's easy on a nightly basis when there's not a large gap in talent.
Oh, I don't think it is either. I'm pretty amazed at how accurate he's been, because I think that's kind of what he uses the first half for, is to kind of get some idea of which reserves look like they have a game going, or where the matchup advantages might be. And so, it is difficult, and I totally agree with the roster, because you really have a lot of same level talents, and I've always thought, and even suggested to some of the assistants, we talk about it a little bit, is that at some point, you know, you just have to just pick guys and make somebody mad, and that's that. You can't play everybody, but I think Coach Edgar's a lot smarter. He's figured out that some nights some guys might be valuable, and another night they may not play at all. And I think, guys will just have to get used to it. I mean, you're, as I've said many times, professional basketball. basketball. It's not Little League. Everybody doesn't get to play three innings. And, you are paid a lot of money, and your contract says that you are a professional player and you will be available to play when called upon. That's really all there is to it.
Jerry Reynolds with us here on The Drive on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jerry, as a coach, how do you as a coach maximize those guys that you're talking about? Like, for example, the Ben McLemores or the Aaron Aflalo who went from a starting lineup to having a couple DNP CDs on the box score. How do you keep those guys motivated knowing, hey, you might not play today, but you're going to play the next game or I'm going to need you at some point? How do you keep those guys focused during practice, shoot around, and engaged during games?
Well, I think you hit on it, really. It's just that, give them a straight scoop. This is the deal, guys. Hate to break news to you, you're not Michael Jordan. you, in case you haven't figured that out, or your agent, it's pretty obvious that you're all going to be on a short leash, and it's your job to be ready. And I will call on you. And obviously, if you're not ready and you can't perform at all, then at some point, obviously the league sees it as well as the fans. I've always told players, just keep in mind you're individual contractors. I mean, you're playing for the Kings, but you're also playing for the league in your career. So if that won't motivate you, you probably aren't gonna be around a long time.
Jerry, I want to talk to you about the Rudy Gay conundrum. Right. Obviously, the Kings played extremely well without him while he was out with that hip flexor and he, was back in the lineup in the last game. But what is it about kind of his style of play that makes it so difficult to put guys around him and have an offense that flows a little bit better?
Well, that's a great point. I think with Rudy that, basically he is a good, really good one-on-one player and likes to play like that. And he becomes a little bit of an ISO kind of guy. And the ball, ball stops a little more with Rudy because he can do more with it and has more ways to score than the majority of players. He doesn't need help getting shots like a lot of guys that the Kings have, do need help getting shots. And so I think, with Cousins, he's certainly the same. He's just better at it. So I think at times when you have two guys out there, that in effect can go get shots, create shots for themselves, it really puts the other three guys standing around. And I think that sometimes it just doesn't work very well. It's no real fault of either player. That's
right.
Who they are. As we talked about, player time, they've been 3 or 4 years in the league. You know pretty much their talent level and the style of play. And, Rudy is very good partially because of the way he plays. And sometimes that strength becomes a weakness.
Well, Jerry, I want to follow up on that and just, you mentioned it. DeMarcus is one of those guys that is very much a ball stopper in his own way. But I think because he is a post player, he doesn't get the same kind of rap as Rudy does as a guard, as a wing player. But you mentioned that DeMarcus has been playing some of his best basketball of his career. Part of that has been his willingness to move the ball early in the offense because there seems to be a little bit more trust with this group.
I agree. I think the bunch that kind of has been finishing games and basically one of the reasons DeMarcus is playing so well, everything is flowing to and through him, and the key word maybe is through. He certainly is moving the ball better. His assist-to-turnover ratio is much better than it's been in the past, and that's a key. And I think he's been a little more selective in the shots that he takes, and, of course, that shows up in the percentages. I probably think, though, that DeMarcus is so much better, facing the basket than he is with his back to the basket. He's good. He's good in all ways, but, there's not a big guy in the league that can stay in front of him. But there's a lot of big guys. There's quite a few that can block his shots. And I think that's, in a nutshell, the difference. But the bottom line is, night to night, you have different big guys that will try to play him differently. We'll see it tonight with Portland. The last game, they had no clue. I was reading this morning in Hoops Hype that Leonard Myers is really enjoys looking forward to the matchup. Hmm. I was thinking, really? Really? Now, are you really looking forward to the matchup? Well, you'll get it. So we'll see.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, Jared, because the last time they did play, that was a bizarre night in which the ejection that didn't happen, DeMarcus comes out in the dramatic way, comes back from the locker room, and Myers-Leonard, you're right, afterwards said a bunch of stuff about what DeMarcus said. So do you anticipate anything, any fallout from the last matchup as Portland may try to agitate DeMarcus tonight?
I do. I really do. I mean, reading all the words, they're kind of guys are saying the opposite, but I don't believe that for a second. It, you know, the guy scored 55 on him. It's got to be and led to a loss. He made a key defensive plays as well as offensive plays. I mean, he had a great, great game. Myers-Leonard was totally dominated, so he can say he enjoys the matchup, but I don't believe that. And if he does enjoy it, he's a sadist, I think. The other thing, though, I mean, I think the crowd certainly will be into it. I have no doubt that Marcus is going to get a lot of boos. And you know, the other Blazers, I think DeMarcus was totally in the wrong by going over to their bench. He should have been called for a technical, for the taunting, personally. There's really no place for that. But
to be fair, he was. They just changed their mind.
Yeah, well, they called it about the mouth. Excuse me, the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But, basically Richard Jefferson gets called for a taunting one for a wink. Anyway, it wasn't called, but it should have been.
Well, winking is just inappropriate, Jerry.
It depends on who you're winking.
It's egregious.
There you go. Yeah. Jerry, before we let you go, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago you did the pre and post game the last few days. Did you enjoy that?
It's so different. I did, but it's so different. You know, you're just not in the game like doing the game. You have more time to. Certainly to talk about it, kind of like we're doing here. You know, you get a little more time to discuss and break it down. But so it's like everything. It's kind of an acquired taste. I mean, it certainly was fun doing it with Coase and James Hamm. So, you know, and then being in studio over there in San Francisco was interesting. So it's a kind of, you know, they always say you can't teach old dog new tricks, but this old dog knows sometimes you better learn some new tricks.
Jerry, we appreciate you. Have a great game tonight.
Well, I can't promise a great one. You know, that depends on Grant. I'll have to get him.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
I'll try to give you 110%.
There you go. That's all we can ask. Grant may be a little cranky. He's got extra duties today here at the radio station. So
I know. Yeah, man, he has an amazing schedule. I admire the heck out of him. I don't know how he does it. I know I could.
You got prop him up, Jerry. You just got to prop him up.
I'll do my best, you guys. Have a great show.
All right, thank you. We appreciate you. The great Jerry Reynolds here on the drive. No Dave and Nate, obviously. Damon, Jason, Katie in Portland. One, Jerry is a national treasure.
Absolutely.
He is.
If you don't have League Pass and you aren't aware of other local color analysts, you just don't know how good you have it with Jerry. Mm-hmm. Even some of the big teams that win championships.
Yeah.
Yikes. Jerry is so great, and he breaks down – being a former coach, he breaks down the game in such a simplistic way.
He's just fun to be around, too, and Katie, you're around him all the time. He's just a happy guy, likes talking basketball, likes to be at the games. He's fun.
Some of my favorite moments on the road is off air and being like on the bus or on the plane and being able to talk to Reynolds. And he is, as you put it, Damian, a national treasure. And he's one of those guys where I wish that people could be a fly on the wall when it's just the off air stuff that you're talking about, because he does such a great job, as you said, of breaking down the game, and he's always honest. And that's something I really appreciate about Grant and Jerry on our broadcast, is they're not severe homers in the sense that if there's a bad call or if the Kings got away with one, they'll say it. They don't just root relentlessly for the home team, but the off air conversations and really like breaking down the game and just kind of every aspect of it from front office to ownership, you know, and because he's been in the league for so many years, his knowledge is just encyclopedic.
We'll come back. Greg Papa kicks off our third and final hour of the drive. It is 7:55. Time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance. JacuzziofSacramento.com. Greg Papa next on The Drive.